Good morning and God bless you. Welcome to the ICS Live Facebook stream. This is the second message in our series called Fearless and Free. Have you ever been ignored? Have you ever been overlooked? Have you ever been passed over for promotion? Has there been a time when you could have done a job really well, but nobody ever asked you? Have you ever felt insignificant? Robert McGee writes this: whether labeled self-esteem or self-worth, the feeling of significance is crucial to mankind's emotional, spiritual, and social stability, and it is the driving element within the human spirit. Thoughts and feelings of insignificance can affect us in many ways, and I want to talk this morning about a couple of them, and those are probably determined by what type of personalities that we have. We could become rejected, or we could become motivated. If we are rejected through the disapproval of other people, if we feel rejected, we could perhaps feel defeated, depressed, confused, relegated, if you like, to the outer circle, deflated and defeated. On the flip side of that, depending on your personality, it may motivate you. It may be a catalyst that could say, well, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. That could be parents, that could be critics, it could be teachers, and sadly, that even could be church leaders. There's many dangers of this, and it could quickly deteriorate and become an idol. In our search for significance, we could quite easily make it into an idol or an obsession. And what do I mean by that? What is an idol and how would I know? In his book, Counterfeit Gods, Tim Keller states, an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. My grandfather on my mother's side was an athlete. He was a very athletic young man. He was a rugby player, but he never got the approval of his father. He never received any affirmation or encouragement. So this negativity from his father actually motivated him to be a better player. He was continually told by his father that he would fail, but in fact, it consumed him. It became an obsession in him to prove his father wrong. And he was successful. He went on to play for the Bradford Northern Rugby League Club, and even he played for England on more than one occasion, on several actually. But sadly, his father, my great-grandfather, never acknowledged his success. If we look closely at this type of motivation, we will see that it's wrong. It's wrong because we're being manipulated. We're actually not in control. We're allowing other people's disapproval to motivate us, and that actually is manipulation. We have been created with a need for significance, and often we look in all the wrong places for our significance. We could look for power, for position, and for prestige. Many young people look to social media, and social media, or so-called social media, can be a very hard taskmaster. I want to share a story about a young, beautiful woman who borrowed her friend's dress, her friend's shoes, and her friend's designer handbag. She borrowed these items not to go out, not to go to a wedding, not even to go to a job interview, but she borrowed them so she could take a selfie photograph and post it on Facebook. Now, this young woman happens to be so pretty that she'd look great in any clothes that she wears. But her perceived value, her perceived significance is measured by how many likes she receives on social media. And this is a very sad state of affairs. And personally, I do not think it is a funny story. In fact, I think it is a tragic story. And I think it is a trap that many people, many young people are caught up in. And this tyrant, it can affect us all. A quote by Edward Norton says that we buy things that we don't need with money that we don't have to impress people we don't like. In our search for significance, we must look at the Word of God, the Holy Bible. We're picking it up at Luke chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. I tell you the truth, my friends. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and after that do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. And it goes on to say, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, because you are worth more than many sparrows. What is God saying in these verses? And why is it worded in such a way? They might seem to be a contradiction. Be afraid, don't be afraid. So what's going on? Well, I think it's a very important verse, and I think it's a very important verse for the 21st century. I fear within the church and within the body of Christ, we've lost the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, according to the Proverbs, is the beginning of all wisdom. So what is God saying? The wrath of God has fully been satisfied upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We've no longer to fear him, but we must sincerely respect him. We must give him the honor and awe that is due his name. He spoke the world into being. He spoke it through the word of his mouth, and it was created. And there is a lack of respect. So we're not to fear God through punishment, because the punishment and the wrath of God has been taken upon our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're to fear him out of awe, out of honor, and out of respect, because we obey the ones we fear the most. If we fear other people's opinion, that's the person we're going to obey. And God wants our heart. He wants our soul. He wants our mind. He wants our strength. He wants a relationship with us. And that is available through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Jesus Christ. So let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We must remember, he died so we could live. The punishment has fallen upon him. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Are you going to accept him, or are you going to reject him? Because as a child of God, my value and my significance and your value and your significance is not found in the abundance of possessions that we own. It is not found in the job title or the size of our bank balance. It is not determined by which area of the city that I live in. It is not determined by how many degrees I have and how many letters are behind my name and what university I attended. It is not determined by the car that I drive or the watch that I own. My significance is not determined by the label of clothes that I wear. It's not determined or measured how hard I work or how much I produce. My worth is measured by God. Let's pick up Psalm 139, reading from verses 13 to 17. This is how significant you are. This is how we can measure our worth. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. We are handmade by the living God. Before this world was created, our days were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So this is how we measure our worth, by what God says about us and our identity in Him. You see, God has placed eternity into the heart of mankind. And this life is not meant to be so short. We are eternal beings created in God's image to spend time with Him and to fellowship with Him. This is why this life is so short, so abrupt, and so lacks meaning. We will only find true meaning in our identity with God, that we are crafted and created in His image. And Jesus says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote in Ephesians about Christ, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So the conclusion of this message, our significance is measured in our identity in Jesus Christ. I am the salt and the light of the earth. I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of His life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. I am God's workmanship, His poetry, the expression of His love. I may approach God with freedom and full confidence, and I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Hallelujah. And that is our significance. That is our identity. That is why we can live this life fearless and free, that our future is secure in Christ Jesus. I pray that this humble message and God's word would permeate into your soul and renew your strength in Jesus' name. So God bless you. I'm going to hand over now to Pastor Tim, who's going to pray and close this service with a benediction. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Martin. What a timely word. As Christ's followers, our identity is not in our possessions, our position, or even in the opinions of others. Our identity is found in Christ and in Christ alone. I want to take this opportunity to say a prayer for this congregation. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you created our innermost being. You knit us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet at times, we feel insignificant. At times, like the Apostle Peter, we find ourselves focusing on the problems around us instead of fixing our eyes upon you. We doubt our ability and have held ourselves back from being the people you created us to be. Forgive us, Lord, for living in such a way that has caused us to place more importance on the opinion of others than on the truth we find in Scripture. Help us to see ourselves through your eyes. Give us strength to overcome our battle and to see how valuable we are. If you sustain the birds of the air and clothe the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more do you care for us? The psalmist reminds us that you take delight in your children. I am your child. I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. I am bought with a price. I am your workmanship. I have been chosen and appointed to bear much fruit. I am a branch of the true vine in a channel of his life. I am a minister of reconciliation. My identity is not founded in my possessions, position, or in the opinion of others. My identity comes through my faith in Christ. Your grace, O Lord, is sufficient for me. Your power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will celebrate my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Help me to see myself as you see me, and help me to live my life according to your words and not according to the opinions of others. Use my weakness and my failures to accomplish your purpose. Encourage my spirit. Lift my eyes towards you and help me to live fearless and free. I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now let me encourage you by pronouncing this public blessing over you. May the wind beat gently upon your back. May the sun shine upon your face. May God our Father turn his countenance towards you. And may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Remembering, our significance is not measured by our productivity, but rather by our identity in Christ. I now bless you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.